Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker of the Game Brain podcast and also the Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, now on Instagram. And joining me is the wonderful and hilarious Ronnie Karam from the Rose Prix Bachelor Rose podcast. What's up, Ronnie?
Hi.
Hi. Ronnie, you look adorable.
I shaved for you.
So did I. I shaved for you. We're like the gift of the Magi, except we actually lined up properly.
And both of our gifts are totally worthless.
They're really just gifts for ourselves. The gifts of the Crappens Eye. This is a Crappens On Demand episode, which means that you don't have to just listen to our voices. You can watch us. Like, if you're watching right now, you can see Ronnie sipping from his coffee. Or you can see me sipping from my coffee. Check out this mug. Do you see this mug?
Wait, hold on. I wasn't looking. Hold on. Check out. I love that. Lady's art is so cool. It's the art from Leah and Sonia and Tinsley all in the pool, wasted on that trip this season. Love it.
Love it. So go to patreon.com/watchforcrappens. And if you sign up on Crappens On Demand, you can watch our recap, which is really fun because we often make lots of silly faces, usually not intentionally. And when you do that, you also get access to our Discord server and our bonus episodes. Lots of great stuff. Lots of great chatter happening on Discord. Hi, Discord people. I think there's going to be a meetup on Saturday or so. I don't know. Check the meetup channel on there. Really fun stuff. So check that out. And also, it is a pandemic, so we're going to give a small business shout-out. Ronnie, what do you have over there in our small business shout-out headquarters?
Well, this is a black-owned small business called Touched by Cedric. It's spelled C-E-D-R-I-C-E, Cedric. Touched by Cedric is an amazing mobile masseuse servicing the Phoenix, Mesa, Chandler, and Casa Grande, Arizona area. Cedric is a sweet, funny, personable masseuse with a very strong hand. Okay, you never have to leave home again for your massage. So go check him out. You can email Cedric at cedric.adams@gmail.com. Okay, or you could just search Facebook Touched by Cedric.
Well, there you go, Touched by Cedric. And also, if you do plan on leaving your house, don't forget to go to crappensmerch.com and get your Crappens masks because they're really fun and cool. And everyone should be wearing a mask. Okay,
people look at you funny. I've been wearing my Lisa Rinna lips everywhere, and a lot of fun looks. A lot of fun, terrified looks. I've always wanted to scare people.
And now you can.
The closest I ever got was when I started shaving my head. I would get on the subway in New York, and people would, like, there was a noticeable difference. I wouldn't say they, like, stepped back. That's what I was going to say. They didn't really step back, but they definitely looked like, holy shit, I wonder if that guy's going to kill me.
Yeah.
I liked it.
I've never really been able to scare anyone, except for when I got my wisdom teeth out and my jaw swelled up like Jay Leno's, and it was crazy. I looked like I was in prosthetics, and that freaked people out, for sure. But,
Poor Jay Leno. Bless his heart. These things happen.
Bless his heart. Bless his heart.
Well, today we are talking about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Okay.
Trigger warning. This will get you mad. The show will get you mad.
Trigger warning. It's not only offensive, it takes place in a Buca de Pepo. So.
Trigger warning. I'm pretty sure Halloween has rap production and Kyle still has her bangs.
All right, so for all of you who don't remember what's going on, we're trying to ruin Denise's life by letting Brandi Glanville come on and spread her lies, her malicious, stupid lies, so she can get a damn job on television again, okay? And everybody has jumped in on this, and Kyle and Teddy, but mostly Kyle, because Teddy only does what Kyle wants her to do. Yeah. Kyle has decided she's going to go all in on Brandi Glanville and get her a job back on TV. And I'm just sitting here patiently waiting for this to blow up in front of Kyle's face. And I can't wait till it does.
She's protected. She has bangs. But I did like that you said that she was all in. That was a nice nod to Teddy. That was a very nice nod.
All in behind Teddy.
All in. So the episode opens up with everyone doing crazy things around Los Angeles. We see Lisa Rinna and her kids at, like, Sandbox Fitness, where she's, like, doing planks on surfboards, which I think is something that I saw on Shark Tank once. So I think this was, like, a Shark Tank moment. So she's like, are you kidding me? I'm on a surfboard indoors. Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me? And it's not only surfboards. There's actual sand in the building.
Yeah. Really to drive home the point.
Which is just gross.
And then we see Garcelle with her son just having sort of generic patter. She's like, do you have any homework tonight? Did you forget your sweatshirt?
And then Teddy's fucking crib room. That's how I titled this next scene. Teddy, who's painted her baby's room dark gray, just how the baby will feel. I mean, this is going to be the most depressed baby in the fucking world. Could you imagine coming out and realizing that you just exited Teddy?
Well, they'll probably name the baby Slate, right? They're like, well, we decided this is the name reveal. It's Slate Gray.
Don't they already have a Slate? What do they have? They have a Cruise.
They have a Cruise. Do they have a Slade, maybe?
Yeah, I think they've got something like that.
Oh, maybe that's why it seems so appropriate to me. I don't know why, this seems like really funny to me. It's my own typo. In my note, I said, Teddy and Edwin love their new crib and nursery, but instead of nursery, I wrote bursary. And I was like, I think that seems so Teddy to call it a bursary.
Yeah, we actually call it a bursary. It's like a birthing nursery.
It's like, shut up, Teddy.
Shut up, bursary.
I'm just mad at her at hypothetical things based on my typos now.
Well, I think that at least Teddy's kids are going to come out with skills, you know? I mean, they're going to be the best kids in math, knowing how to count calories that young. Because you know Teddy is going to be like, breastfeeding. Oh, we just hit 10 calories. You're going back down. I wouldn't want you to have to lose your deposit with accountability by Teddy. Sorry, baby. Sorry, Slate.
She's going to lull them into naps by strapping them onto, like, elliptical pedals and pedals.
They're like, how did your baby learn to walk so fast? She's like, oh, well, I put him in one of those bouncy chairs, but it's over a walkie thing. What do you call them? A treadmill. It's over a treadmill.
Still not potty trained, but wow, can do a marathon. So, yeah, Teddy has a really exciting thing to say.
Babe, we're having a baby. What gives?
God,
a baby.
Do it somewhere else, please. So then, yes, bitch! It's my day, bitch! He's like, hey, Jocelyn, Joyce, slide the computer around, bitch! All right, we gotta see the edit, Erica! We gotta edit, Erica! And it's Erica's Chicago commercial that she can't reach the belting note on. So what's the point of filming that? Could you maybe have chosen something else for her to sing?
And she goes, she starts getting all like inside the actor's studio. This is my first glimpse of Erica Jane meeting Roxy. And they're going to fuck. Yeah.
I said, listen here, Roxy, you want to make money, you shankers, you better learn how to hold some wings in your cleavage, all right, honey?
I remember sitting there in shakers and watching all those little cars just go by one after another to destinations unknown. Well, now I'm in a car and I'm going to a destination. It's full circle, wouldn't you say?
I'm trying to remember the song they were playing in this ad where she's like,
Roxy,
the name on everybody's lips. Changing the notes in Foxy lips. Roxy Hart. It's literally the easiest thing they could have given you to do, Erica. Mikey goes, oh my god, great. Did you like the end? The end is my favorite. It's smoke!
The way that they faded out the transition, wow!
So Denise, so now we go over to Denise, knocking on Garcelle's door, and this is like, I guess the first time we've been in Garcelle's house and she's fully moved in. Like everything's where it needs to be. So Denise is checking it out. She's like, oh, I love your home. I mean, too bad it took 2 hours to get to, but wow, this is great. So guess what? The day I get back from Rome, I'm at LAX. I get all my stuff. Get home, and literally, I'm at the airport the next day to go to Montana for Thanksgiving. I'm like, oh, okay, great. That's
thanks for the update. I can wear my fucking sweatpants there.
I thought something was going to happen. I thought there was going to be like something like, then Erin got ran over by a buffalo. Mm-hmm. But it was just like, right. No, she was just sharing that she went to Montana.
Yeah, I'm at LAX, and a guy from Pretty in Pink came up to me and started talking. I said, listen here, ducky, nobody needs your shit or whatever, something.
That's a nice callback to 2.5 Men also, by the way. I appreciate
that.
Yeah,
that's what I was going for. But then mind, I thought, was that Breakfast Club? No, it wasn't Breakfast Club, but was it Pretty in Pink or was it 16 Candles? Pretty in Pink is Ducky, right?
Yeah, because I've never seen all of 16 Candles. And I recently watched Pretty in Pink on an airplane when we were traveling to back from one of our shows.
Aww.
Back when we used to be able to do that.
Back in the day. Back in the day that people really cared about the difference between Pretty in Pink and 16 Candles. Can't bring ourselves to you today, though. Sorry, little guy from 2.5 Men.
They toast, and Denise is basically saying how she could not have done Rome without Garcelle. Like, Garcelle, you know, Garcelle was the support that Denise needed in Rome.
And Garcelle says, well, all I did was be your friend. She's like, well, that's a lot to ask this group of motherfuckers. All right, now listen to Erin. You know, Erin just couldn't believe these girls, what they were saying. I mean, listen, I don't got secrets with Erin, all right? If I came home and said, hey, I fucked Brandy, he would have said, why wasn't I invited? Now, that rings true to me. And I think that's everybody's thought, right? Like,
yes.
Wouldn't Erin be like, yeah, hell yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, exactly. Like, when they first met, they had sex in the back room of his magnet clinic or whatever it is. So, like, this seems very on brand for Erin.
Yeah. She's like, well, I'll be honest with you. I really do not like Teddy. I'll be honest about that. That's true.
I do have to say, I don't like Teddy at all. I do not like her.
So Garcelle's like, well, you know, in Rinna, there's something so different about Rinna now. I don't know what, you know, she's relentless now. You know, she's like hardened or something. And Denise is like, yeah, you know what? We made up in a lobby on an iPhone camera. But, you know, it's still going to take me a long time to be able to trust that idiot.
Yeah, and basically Garcelle is saying, she's like, you know, Rinna is just like, she's just like too aggressive. I mean, she just wants everyone to own it. I mean, I don't want to always own it. It's exhausting to own it all the time.
Which is so true. So she's like, well, that night in Rome, they came after you, and, you know, finally you stood up for yourself. I was proud of you. And Denise is like, listen, I've been through a lot. I'm on the Hallmark fucking movie channel, all right? You think that's easy? Dealing with all those white people problems? It's like the son of a banker is in love with the son of a female banker, and they're both rich and white, and then finally find out that they're meant for each other in a huge pile of fake fucking snow. You think that's easy?
Do you think it's easy to film a meet-cute scene with Brendan Fraser and actually pretend like you're into it? It's not easy, but I do it.
Sunrise. Buca de Beppo. Now, I was mistaken in our last recap. I was making fun of all these women for getting probably lost in the Buca de Beppo parking lot of the Universal City Boardwalk or whatever that's called, the City Walk. They're not even there. They're in the Encino Buca de Beppo.
Buca de Beppo. God. Yeah. Yeah, it has a much more streamlined parking experience. You don't have to like leave your car off at quote unquote Jurassic parking. You can just drive off of Ventura Boulevard and just park it right there and walk right in.
It's even worse than I thought. I thought Dorit was gonna at least be able to walk out of this being like, well, you know, today I was on set down the street from Julia Roberts and Godzilla.
It was a marvelous time walking around the Universal City Walk until I accidentally ambled onto their fountain system, which has no barriers whatsoever, and a little shoot of water went right up my woo-ha. It was a bit embarrassing.
Because they do have those fountains. You have to. Okay, warning to people who decide to come to LA as tourists and go to the City Walk. First of all, don't go to City Walk. But if you do go,
so fine. Go. You have to go. It's great.
It's not, it's like a nightmare. And on top of that, there's like a water fountain. It's one of those sneaky water fountains that's like, you think you're walking on the sidewalk, don't you? Look! It's a shoot of water that came out of a hole. So be careful, because Lisa Vanderpump is trapping you.
Yes, Lisa Vanderpump has manipulated that shit. So she's at Buca de Pepo Doritas, and she's dressed crazily. Is this where she's dressed like a waitress, like an Italian restaurant waitress?
It's like,
or is that for the party? Yeah,
well, sort of. I mean, is she wearing Versace or something like that? Where it's like she's wearing like a white shirt, but there's like a black band. It's like a black stripe, a big band around her chest, yes. And then also down below.
Yeah, so it's like a crazy waitress in an Italian restaurant where they wear big white ruffly shirts, but then they have like a bustier type thing under it. But it's even worse because you're like a waitress in Versace, whatever. It's like, oh, you know, like, save up. Save up, you know. So I would want someone to tell me if I showed up at the table with like a Gucci belt, like, save your money, Ronnie. Like, how long do you want to, like, come on, save.
I also think it's pretty bold to wear like a white, essentially what's a white top that's like also Versace, like a red sauce Italian restaurant. I just wouldn't do that. So,
like, she's going to get close to any kind of sauce. You're cute.
She will not. She will not. Alfredo at best, and not even. So, and by that I mean the waiter. So, so then she's standing there. She's talking to like the Buca de Beppo suit, and Kyle walks in. She's like, "Hi, I had a huge box delivered. Did you see my huge box?" And Dorit's like, "Yes, I saw that. It's sitting next to my small box of a present." And we see that, like, of course, Kyle has gotten an enormous box for Teddy because she has to, of course, outshine everyone. Although I'm proud that she wound up getting outshone later on in the episode. That made me really happy.
Well, thanks for trying to make me look bad, Kyle.
Yeah.
I love baby showers and pregnant women and babies. It's so exciting, isn't it, Kyle?
Has anyone said they have ever loved a baby shower? I'm just curious. I would love to hear from the women in our audience. Do any women actually love baby showers? I've never heard anything but complaints from any female friend I've ever had about like, oh, I gotta go to another fucking baby shower and watch people open up presents.
Even when it's time for your baby shower, it's like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, what do I do? I was helping plan a baby shower with a friend, and it's like, what do we do? Like, they've done everything. You know, every idea you come up with, everybody's already done. It's like, hey, let's decorate little onesies, and we'll each paint the onesie. And then there's always that one, that mom that's like, isn't that dangerous for the children? And they can get poisoned. I don't want to do that to the children. Then you have to pull out the little fucking thing that says non-toxic. You know, babies can eat this paint or whatever. I don't know how people deal with it. I did one, and I never want to be. And the person who the shower was for was like, I feel so bad. I think maybe because I was making them feel bad.
Mm.
Never mind. I'm destroying my own story. But I think, I think I guilted them. For having a baby and ruining our friendship. And then for, like, making me come up with stupid games at a party. And then, blaming them again for having a baby and ruining our relationship. Never mind. And this is turning into a confession.
It's like, not exciting to watch people pull out little baby outfits from boxes. It's just, like, not... It's just not interesting to me. Mm. So, Kyle starts telling us, I was planning on throwing a baby shower for Teddy. But then when we got to Italy, Dorit said that she wanted to join me. And which is sort of like, it felt almost like Kyle was registering a complaint. Like she was officially saying like trying to maybe to explain to Teddy in some way why she wasn't the one throwing the party. And it bothered me because I'm like, Kyle, you've been talking about planning this wedding, this baby shower since the very first episode and you never did it. And now you're sort of like kind of giving us this complaint moment of like Dorit maybe infringing on your territory. You've had all season, Kyle. You've had all
Carl's
season.
Carl's a terrible friend. She pretends she's best friends with Teddy and can't even... Not only does she not schedule a party or plan a party, she lets Dorit use it as her big show-off day for Buca de Pepo, which is even further degrading Teddy's party. You deserve it, Teddy.
Say what you will about Teddy. But, like, what sort of friend... I mean, Teddy really got fucked over here. Because, like, what sort of friend lets their friend's baby shower just, like, be the pinball that rattles all the way down through the pinball machine and wind up at the Buca di Beppo at Encino. And you're on the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Like, how did that happen?
So good. Well, I've got a chance with this party to put myself back in magical Capri. The smears, the colors. It's like you're stepping into a restaurant in Capri.
Yeah, every time she was talking to us, Dorit would say, the Capri room. I'm so excited about the Capri room. But then, like, when she forgot to have her, like, accent, and people were like, come to the Capri room, the Capri room. I want to come to the Capri room.
It's the Capri, the grand old Capri.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C. Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay. Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan lettuce.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D. There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
Shannon better than Kyle Richards.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, cease and desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Erica, 500 days of summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
The Wyndham beneath our wings, it's Joe Wyndham.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Lourdes, the Lourdes of the Rings.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell. Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
So, Kyle, you know, just to add insult to injury, Kyle's like, do I feel like I've been transported back to Capri? No. Like, Kyle, the least you can do is make it through one episode without being an asshole when she just, like, saved your ass with this. Who cares? Why do we care so much about this?
Well, no, I actually care about this point because we see Kyle in the Capri room going, this is fantastic, Dorit. It looks amazing. And then she tells us, do I think I've been transported to Capri? No. I'm like, listen, Kyle, you may be right about all the things. You may just, you know, I am not taking away that does not feel like Capri, probably. But don't be coming back to us later on the episode about honesty. And, you know, when she says one thing, she doesn't really just say what's on her mind. That's what creates this dishonesty. Kyle, you are doing it with the Capri room, yeah. Okay?
Well, I've got place settings here. Normal, homely people off to the side. And Kyle, I put Teddy next to you because she'll have a fit if I don't, Kyle.
Which is true. So Kyle's telling us that she hasn't spoken to Denise once since they've gotten back from Rome. I'm like, you've been back for like 2 days and you all had Thanksgiving. So stop. Don't try
and
to
you
make
don't it. Speak to Denise anyway. When have you ever spoken to Denise? So Kyle's like, is Denise going to come? Like, what's going on with Denise? Is she going to come? And Dorit's like, well, I've been back and forth with her. From Capri to Lax to Montana. We've been jet-setting Fernwise, Kyle. And she didn't necessarily say she wouldn't come, and I have no idea, Kyle. Which obviously means she's not coming, and Dorit knows she's not coming, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But she can bank some pre-Denise points by, like, saying, I think she's a stand-up girl, and I'm sure she'll be coming, and she'll bring a moose head from Montana. I think it's wonderful. Capri room. So Kyle's like, oh, well, you know that Kim and Brandy are coming, right? Which is just, like, why are, I mean, maybe I can understand Kim, but why is Brandy coming to this? Why, and we do see a flashback of Teddy kind of, like, reluctantly being like, yeah, you guys are invited. You guys are invited. She doesn't know Brandy. She doesn't know
She's
Brandy.
She's coming because Brandy invited herself. She said, well, we're having a shower. And Brandy said, am I invited? And they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're bringing Brandy. So this is shitty. Now, remember back in the beginning of the season when they showed a fight or whatever was happening, and then they were like, and then 5 months into filming, Denise refused to shoot with the ladies. And they made it seem like Denise walked off half the season in, like Vanderpump did last year. No, she did not. She didn't come to one fucking baby shower. And now it looks like next week you guys are going to try and trick her by not telling her that you've invited Brandy to New York for the finale.
Yeah.
Shame. Shame.
Shame. Shame, shame, shame.
Shame.
So Dorit's basically like, well, I think we could all act like adults here. It's not no big deal. I think that Denise is going to come. And Kyle is like, Dorit is delusional, okay? Denise doesn't care if it's a shower. If she doesn't want to have conversations, okay? She doesn't want to work through things. I know Denise is not coming tonight. It's not that Denise doesn't want to have conversations and work through things. She just knows that she's hitting a brick wall every time she talks to your bangs, and that you're going to try some underhanded trick like having Brandy Glanville show up at the baby shower. And guess what? That's exactly what you're doing or trying to do.
And you say she's so fake. She hates Teddy's guts. Wouldn't it be faker of her to show up for Teddy? Like, why would you celebrate Teddy replicating? It's like if you don't like Michael Keaton, why would you sit through Multiplicity when there's like 50 Michael Keatons? Like, enough with Michael Keaton, okay, Teddy?
I know. Seriously.
You'd want to celebrate another Teddy.
So now we go over to Rinna's house, and she's like rooting through Amelia's drawer for who knows what. And Amelia is in like an existential crisis because she can't find her face lotion or her toothbrush, which I don't know why or how you lose those things in your own home, but, you know.
Well, did you see that drawer? I mean, that was, I think the whole cast of Below Deck Med just had an aneurysm watching that scene. It was just full of drugs. It was like a drawer full of pill bottles. I know.
Malia's like, I don't have enough room on my iPhone to document all of this.
Yeah. Malia's like, I'm the first iPhone that's run out of film. Anybody? Anybody help me?
I need to put on my panoramic function for this one.
Just piles and piles of pills. Like, mother like daughter, kid.
So Amelia is going to be moving into her own apartment, where it's just an easy like $5,300 a month.
$5,700 for a tiny one bedroom, one bath. Is Rinna just trying to make us hate her daughter? Is that what's going on here? Because I smell sabotage. No one would put their daughter on screen like this and be like, "Ha, $5,700 a month." While it's like, let them eat cake with the rest of the world, you know, going on, especially right now. God, I think she's trying to sabotage Amelia. There, I said
To be fair, Amelia's only going to be paying $4,700 a month because Rinna and Harry are throwing in $1,000. So when Rinna said, "Well, we'll throw in $1,000," I thought that Amelia was going to get like something at $1,800 or $2,200 a month, somewhere in that range. Not $5,700. I mean,
that's crazy.
It would look like Westwood, for crying out loud.
Yeah. So Rinna's like, tell me about your therapist, because this is about to be a scene shit-talking other housewives, and you're just a child, but in my mind, you're just still a child, but still, let's just talk about your therapy.
Mm-hmm. And then she went like this. She had this. She added a nice touch, which was new. She added a little chicken hand. She went like this. Tell me about your therapist. She just did that.
little chicken hand.
Yeah, she did like a teddy, like a half teddy. She's like, okay, I'm going to show that I care by trying one of Teddy's methods. Chicken hand. Okay.
Yeah. Tell me about your therapist. So Amelia's like, well, I've been on an antidepressant, which has been lovely, and that's why I've been much nicer. And I'm totally recovered from my eating disorder, so that's good. And she's like, oh, that's interesting that you brought up your eating disorder. Because Garcelle brought up whether my posting on Instagram had anything to do with your eating disorder. I mean, I said you'd have to ask her, Garcelle. Which, again, you know, the way it's phrased. But then we see Garcelle saying it, and she's like, well, do you think there's a correlation between you dancing on Instagram and her eating disorder? And Rinna's like, well, it's not my fault. I'm saying I don't think it's my fault. She's like, well, I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying, is there a correlation?
Right. And Amelia's like, well, I would tell her in the nicest possible way, all due respect, fuck off, okay? Like, Mom, you just happen to be a really small person. Can you stop doing that chicken hand thing? It's kind of freaking me out right now. Please stop doing that.
Yeah, she's like, you know what, Mom? You just happen to be a very small person, and I was just talking about it with my therapist today, you know? I mean, there's shaming no matter what size you are, and you can literally not be perfect. Oh, yeah, I'm shamed. I'm shamed all the time. I'm shamed all the time, Amelia. And she's like, yeah, and when I was going through treatments, I blamed you because you're so thin. Okay, so it does correlate.
I was like, it does have a correlate. I know, that's what
Hello?
I was thinking, too.
Ding, 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 ding. Can we get a piece of cake for Garcelle? Because she totally called it. Why are you guys pretending that she's being such an asshole when it does have a correlation?
It does. Yeah, and no one's saying that's a bad thing. It's just saying, like, have you thought about that? And so, because Amelia said, like, you know, I blamed you because you're so thin, but then I realized it's not fair because I did everything on my own. Like, she's like, I was crying by myself. I was looking up diets by myself, like, without you knowing about it. I'm like, I don't think anyone's saying, like, hey, did Rinna, like, slide, like, a diet, like, under your door to be like, you should be doing this? No, it's just saying, like, hey, have you thought, like, that this could impact your daughter in ways that you may not realize? And, like, if the daughter is saying, I blamed you, even if it was irrational, it's like, yeah, it does.
Yeah. She's not saying it's your fault. And the way that they've twisted this is just like a housewife show, where they take one little, it's like Teddy, like, I'm the victim, people are giving me death threats. That's what Teddy's doing right now all over Instagram. Okay, and then Rinna is, did you know that? Teddy's like, yes. Please stop sending me death threats.
It still made me laugh, though.
So then, no, we're laughing, which is terrible. Don't send people death threats, you guys. I mean,
no,
Christ's
don't do that.
But
don't
it's
do that.
So
I mean,
Teddy
seriously,
to be
there's
like,
a line.
Ooh. And then Rinna, Amelia came out with a video of herself dancing on Instagram and then commented something along the lines of, this is not a direct quote, but the message was basically, you know, by her commenting, does that bother me that you're dancing? It's like she's calling me fat, and I don't appreciate somebody talking about they're changing it to where Garcelle is attacking this young woman about this, and that's not what it is. You guys are such fucking assholes. Stop.
And I also, I mean, to be fair, if I were Garcelle, I probably would not have asked that question necessarily, or I don't know. I mean, it's really risky to start asking about someone's daughter. If a daughter has body image issues, that is such a, like, even me just weighing in now, I felt a little uncomfortable because it's like, you know, these are like really, really delicate issues, and you never want to make someone feel bad about something going on because there's a lot of stuff that we don't even know. But that being said, I do feel like Rinna has been trumpeting this idea of, like, we're on this show to expose our lives, to talk about our lives. And, like, it's kind of, Garcelle's question is sort of the kind of question that Rinna might have asked someone. I mean, Rinna did ask Denise, like, do you think it's hypocritical of, you know, that you talk about happy endings on a camping trip, but then don't want to talk from the kids, which I actually think it was a fair question, given the show and given what, you know, Rinna stands for, and, like, we ask questions. So I think that, therefore, if you're able to ask that question of Denise, I think Garcelle is able to ask that question of Rinna. But that being said, I personally would not have asked it because I think you open up a whole can of worms and could wind up.
Yeah, but they're just twisting it to make it sound like Garcelle is attacking her and calling her fat, which is not even what happened. No. It was so gross of them to do that. I think it's terrible. Like, don't put your fucking daughter, who's in a fragile place with an eating disorder and all of this, don't shove it on TV and then be mad that anybody has anything to say about it. The Garcelle didn't say anything terrible or mean. I'm on record, too, last week of saying I didn't like that she said it. But that said, I think you're right. You know, it's like, if you're gonna put it out there, then... Anyway, I just don't like how they've twisted it, you know? And now they're using this scene to make it sound like Garcelle said that Rinna's at fault for her eating disorder. And that's not what happened. You guys are twisting it, and we're not falling for it.
No, but it looks like their friendship is going down the tubes anyway, so
it's pretty much over now. Yeah,
so now let's go to Boca de Beppo of Encino, California, as introduced by Giselle.
So a lot of people arrive, and we see some of Teddy's, like, normal people friends, and she has a friend named Little, which I think is funny, just like Little.
And Marcy.
You know? like, even your friends are named Little. That's how obsessed you are on the other end of that spectrum of dieting.
Teddy would have friends. Like, I'm not making fun of the names, but I just think that, like, this collection of names together is so Teddy. Jennifer, Marcy, and Little. I'm like, that is so Teddy.
So then Kim Richards comes in just bobbling her head. She's like,
Make it Richard.
Hey, do you have that new book about Donald Trump? This is Buco de Beppo. This is not a bookstore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Got it. Got it.
Where's the Starbucks? You taking Starbucks cards yet, Kyle?
So Kim comes in bobbly heading around, and Rena comes in with a big basket.
Hello! Hello!
Jesus Christ.
And then Kim is like,
hi, how are you, Kim? How are you? Did you get the bunny? Did you add the bunny? He's like,
Of course I got a bunny. You, Kim Richards, everybody. How is Kim?
So then we find out that Amelia did not spend Thanksgiving with Rinna, and Rinna says, I just laughed at the sentence. She goes, well, Amelia is dating Mercer Lederhorn. And I was just like, what? What is that? Is that
Mercer
a real person?
Lederhorn.
Mercer Lederhorn.
Amelia's dating, because she's like, you spent Thanksgiving with my daughter. Kim, I didn't even get to spend Thanksgiving with my daughter. You did. Because Amelia's dating Mercer Lederhorn. I should say it again.
Because Kim's daughter Brooke is married to Mercer's older brother, so everything is so incestuous on this show. I do love that. I love how everything is so incredibly incestuous. And as mentioned previously, I believe that Delilah is dating Eyal from season 4 of Love Island, and he is so awful. He's such a schmuck, and it drives me nuts that Delilah is dating him. He is vile, and I'm only halfway through the season, no spoilers, but I hope he gets kicked off soon. There we go.
I said it. Why do insanely rich people have to have such stupid fucking names? I mean, the show's so incestuous because they're all fucking their way, you know, they're all like ass-kissing the richest people in the world, who all have stupid names, like Wiederhosen.
Yeah. it's true. And they're all incestuous. Like, if you look at the history of just, like, Kyle and Kim and who they have, like, dated and married in their past, and, like, how it mixes with, like, the Davises, like Brandon Davis and all this other, and all these other families here in L.A., it's just bonkers. Bonkers, I tell you.
So Rena's like, well, as we left Rome, me and Denise vowed we'd be better friends, and I look forward to tonight so I can continue that and keep that goodwill moving forward.
You are so full of shit, Lisa.
We took an oath over a can of Lavazzo. We each put a hand on that Lavazzo, and we said, okay, on the count of three, we're going to shake this thing till it explodes, and when it does explode, we will be bonded for life. Lavazzo sisters.
Lamio, Lavazzo, Kim Denise Incorporated. We're gonna do it.
Anyway, so Garcelle shows up, and she's like, "All right, people want me to play the game. I'll play the game. Get ready, ladies. I have the biggest present of all—a giant flamingo."
Thank God that flamingo is going to be the happiest thing in that fucking baby room, that crib room. Good lord!
I know.
The prison.
It'll pop quite nicely.
The day the flamingo went to prison.
How angry was Kyle?
It's like a little baby Erica Jane in Chicago in the crib room.
Pop, fizz, flamingo.
This is going to be a 20-hour recap, by the way. I have no idea where I even am today. All right. So, yeah, she brings in a huge flamingo, and Denise is on FaceTime with Dorit. And so Garcelle and Dorit are like, hi. And Garcelle's like, you're not making it. Is that why you're calling, Denise? You're not making it. Is that what you're going to say? And she's like, yeah, I've been sick all night and day. I didn't fucking make it, you know? Surely Teddy and Erica will greatly appreciate that.
Yeah. And then Denise tells us, you know, I'm not so sad that I'm sick because I don't really want to show up to a fucking baby shower anyways. It's a blessing in disguise moment. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm not sure if Denise is really sick or if she's just saying she's sick or if she's just sick of these women.
Kyle, stop trying to saw off the legs of my flamingo. It's taller than your present, and you'll just have to deal with it.
I know, Kyle's over there, like, trying to put a tablecloth over the flamingo.
She's like, Kyle's, like, putting, like, a booster seat under her present to make it taller. Stacking tomatoes. Tomato cans from the kitchen.
Yeah, just taking the plastic lemons off the ceiling and, like, putting them around.
She's drawing, like, googly eyes and a beak on her box. It's a flamingo also! It's a flamingo also!
So then Teddy and Kyle arrive in their car, and Kyle's like, it's really hard for me to get out of the car too, Teddy. I have sympathy for pregnancy. I have pregnancy sympathy. You guys are so wacky. Just keep laughing, you two. Just keep on laughing.
So wacky. So Dorit's like, shh, 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 shh. They're coming. They're coming. A very boring lady and a lady with bangs. They're coming. Okay, they're getting out of the go-kart. Here they come, everyone.
And as Teddy walks in, she goes, hello, governor. By the way, we made it to Buca de Pepe. I'm going to side the Capri room, governor.
Which is about what my Dorit accent sounds like on certain days. So so they walk
it's
in.
It's Italy, like, Teddy, not fucking Act One of My Fair Lady.
Like, I think she was making fun of Dorit's accent. Wasn't she?
I don't know.
Either way, the point is this. If you have to explain the joke, it wasn't a good joke, Teddy. All right? So she walks in and it's like, surprise! And she's like, she like turns into Chewbacca. She's like,
and she says, I think me and Dorit have come a long way. I mean, the fact that she can host this for me when we couldn't even have a conversation before. And I thought, wow, Teddy is actually going to be grateful and kind? I don't believe this. And then sure enough, she's like, wait a minute. Maybe we haven't come that far because this shower has pretty much been all about Dorit the whole time. Not that she's wrong, but...
Well, didn't have to be about Dorit if Kyle had just done, like, some basic things for her friend. So then, in fact, Kyle said something here that sounded shady, but I couldn't understand it. And I went back and listened to it a few times. Could you decipher it? Because it ended with her saying, but it's fine. It's fine. I like it. I like it. And I'm like, I don't know what the first part was, but I feel like it was super shady. And I would have made me really angry. And I want here, like, an opportunity to get angry again.
I have Teddy, thank you so much, and Dorit saying, this is from Coil and Doy. I have to spend time with you, might as well have said something, eh, Teddy? And then Teddy, and then everybody saying that the room is really nice, and Sutton saying...
Okay, so it was right before that. So let's just say on the record that Kyle said something that we don't know what it was, but... Fuck her for saying it.
Still, fuck you. Here's a fuck you for a misunderstanding.
Whatever it was that you said that they did not put a caption under, we know it was shady. And fuck you.
Yeah. So Sutton takes a look at this room and she's like, wow, it's like the lemon restaurant. And Rena's like, fabulous. I love lemons. I love
them. What was the lemon restaurant that Sutton is referring to? Was she talking about
lemons? The whole room is lemons. It's Dorit. If you look up pictures of it, it's just all the decorations are lemons. They're hanging from the ceiling. It's supposed to be like a lemon grove or something.
I thought she was referring to a specific restaurant that she was calling the lemon restaurant.
Oh, no, no. Or just saying, like, this restaurant sure is a lemon.
This is reminds me of Mr. Dolce's waiting room when I sit there and look at all the lemons. Wow. God, I love real opulence.
So then Dorit, subtle as ever, is telling everyone, all right, girls, you've got name tags where you're supposed to sit.
Now, Teddy, I'm so sorry to tell you. Denise just FaceTimed me and said she's not going to make it to your stupid baby shower.
And then Kyle, of course, is in a snit. She's like, I mean, I told you, Dorit, Denise is not sick. I just wish Denise would be honest and say, I really don't like coming around right now, but instead she says I'm sick. Like, that's what creates distrust. Kyle, you were the one who just fully said that you thought the room looked amazing and then told us it was basically like a piece of shit, okay? So don't talk to us about distrust, Kyle.
Yeah, you're also the one who sneakily invited Brandy to this party and didn't mention that to Denise, you fucking liar. So
yeah,
shut up, Kyle.
Yeah, exactly.
Denise is playing this very well. She's foiling Kyle, and Kyle has never looked dumber. And you're new to the Kyle train, but I've hated this squawker since season two. And I'm so glad that people are finally seeing how evil Kyle is. You suck, Kyle!
Well, I would say that I guess all these years I was looking through rose-tinted glasses, but it turns out I was just standing in Kyle's foyer with that stupid pink neon artwork. So Erica shows up. Speaking about pink, Erica shows up. She looks like she's at like an anime convention. She has like a pink anime kind of wig on. I was like, I don't understand this look at all for this baby shower, but sure, go with it.
Which, of course, Teddy has now, too, because she's like another Kyle. Just copy anything popular and do it for yourself. So Teddy's like Miss Pink here now. So let's see. Erica comes in, and Teddy's like, thank you, guys. I'm really bad with speeches, so I'm not going to do that. Yeah, we figured. So Rinna's like, I love a baby shower. I do. I love them. People have such a good time at baby showers, don't they? Don't they? Remember Andy Cohen's baby shower? Remember how fun? Cut to the clip of me dancing on a table.
Are you kidding me? So, everyone, quiet, everyone. Okay, next time that we see Erica, she will be on stage playing Roxy Hart. Are you kidding me? Own that role that I owned.
And everyone's like, cheers, cheers. And Erica's like, thank you, cheers, cheers, thank you. And Rinna goes, you know, I am so excited that Erica gets to do something that I love doing so much. You can't make this shit up. I mean, my God.
And girls are like, let the woman have the spotlight for a moment. Come on now. I mean, so then Garcelle, just out of nowhere, this is kind of great. She goes, I mean, so everyone at the table, working actress here, like real working actress, I've known Lisa Rinna for 20 years. And when you're a friend, you support her. Rinna supports that friend 100%.
And Rinna's like,
bows her head. Yes. She's like, thank you. Thank you for this award. Thank you so much. I want to thank the Kennedy Center and the Obamas. Thank you so much. Oh, Kyle, thank you so much. And she's like, well, but I can say at the same time, I feel like anytime anybody brought up Erica's Broadway debut, Lisa chimed in like, oh, I did it 8 years ago, 18 years ago.
Wait a second. That's not part of these Kennedy Center honors. No.
And Dorit's like, woo! Dorit loves it. And Rinna's like, you know, Garcelle, if you thought that it was about me, I feel sad for you that you thought that in any way, because you know what I mean. And she's like, well, I don't think that that's how you should put it, that you're sorry that I feel that way. She's like, come on, Garcelle. You know me better than that, Garcelle. You know me better than that. She's like, all right.
I have not tried to take Erica's thunder at all when it comes to Chicago. I'm just trying to shine my Chicago sun on her Chicago grass. It has to grow, that's all.
I mean, listen, baby, I've stolen her wigs, her glam squad, and her drag queen lingo, but not Chicago. If anything, she stole that from me. I mean, I dress like her every day, and this year she gets to dress like me as Roxy Hart in Chicago. You're welcome.
So basically Rinna is like pretty pissed off about that. I mean, it was
shady,
it was
and amazing and true. Okay. Shady and yes. Amazing and true.
Shady and amazing and true. Yes. Yes.
So Rinna's like, come on, you know me better than that, Garcelle. She's like, well, that's why I said what I said before what I just said, because I said a nice thing before I said the mean thing. She's like, well, that's a little backhand. And then it was a compliment. And if you feel that, then that's on you. Roxy Hart. Sorry.
There's no need to give him the old razzle dazzle. Garcelle. That's a lyric from Chicago, which was I was in 18 years ago, 18 years before Erica. So happy for you, Erica!
And Garcelle goes, absolutely, yeah, it's on me. It's not on me. It's on you. So Teddy's like, Erica, will you do a quick performance of Chicago right now? Rinna jumps on the table like,
And all that jazz.
I was going to sing all that jazz, but it's not even my number, so it can't be Erica's number, because she's playing the same part that I played.
Wait a second, I thought you were going to sing I Have the Right to Fight for Your Honor. No, Teddy, not that Chicago. And that's not even Chicago, that's just Peter Cetera.
So Erica's like, no, I won't do it. I sure will not do it. Listen, this job, I may have started my path by dancing on tables, but this time I'm eating. All right.
So then Garcelle has to leave, but she's like, I mean, here's what's great about Garcelle. She just like immediately apologizes. She's basically like, you know what? You've always been there for me, and that was a shit thing for me to say. Accurate. But shitty.
But shitty. And Lisa Rinna's like, oh,
Garcelle!
Which,
give her time to process that one. You're dead. Okay, yeah, you're dead, lady.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, enjoy that one.
So Kim's like, well, hey, everybody, Brandy just texted me. She said, hey, girl, what's up, pussy lover? And I say, what's up, skank lips? And she says she's in the neighborhood and she's invited. Can she still come?
Like, that's so fucking Brandy to be like, well, I was invited to a party and I happen to be in the neighborhood of said party. Should I just come?
It's like, that's part of the invitation.
Rude.
What are you doing? Just like cruising Ventura Boulevard in front of the Office Max? Get in here. So Kyle was like, but she was invited. She was invited. I kind of felt like Kyle was saying that to reiterate that, like, it's not my fault that she's coming. She was invited by forces unbeknownst to me.
Yeah, because you invited her.
Yeah. So Erica is like, by the way, where's Denise? And they're talking about Denise and everything. And Teddy's like, I would have had a little bit more respect for the situation if Denise said, I don't want to come because I feel awkward around Teddy. I would have felt a lot better than just saying that she's sick. You know, did it ever occur to you guys that it is actually fall and you guys just went to Rome and back, she went to Montana and back, and it's rainy and cold, and she may be actually sick? Because both Ronnie and I were sick at that exact time when they were shooting this.
Also, really, since when is it more polite to be like, oh, I would come to your baby shower, but I don't like you, so I'm not going to come? That would yes. be totally rude. And if she did that, Teddy would still be fucking crying about it, okay? It was a polite way of not showing up at your stupid fucking party that no one wants to go to at cheesy-ass Buca de Pepo, you lame-ass hooker, okay?
She has to drive from Malibu to Encino. She has to drive through a canyon that may have mudslides because it looked a little rainy, just to go to Encino to a Buca de Beppo for someone she doesn't like. I mean,
yeah, no. To publicize a restaurant she doesn't like for a woman she barely knows. No, fuck you guys for
read
doing
between
that.
The lemons, bitch.
Yeah. So Kyle's like, well, you know, the stuff that she was saying about us, like, she just wasn't being honest to our faces, guys. She wasn't being honest. And Dorit's like, how do you know whether she was being honest, Kyle?
Thank you, Dorit.
And Teddy's like, Dorit. Well, I mean, Kim was sitting there. Kim is a reliable narrator. Kim, do you have anything? If ever there is a reliable witness in life, it's Kim.
Kim's, like, sticking her water glass into, like, a Dippin' Dots thing. What? What'd you say?
Kim's, like, trying to bite into one of the lemons off the ceiling. Like.
She's slowly gathering the lemons into a bag. Can make some limoncello later tonight, okay?
Kim, get the lemon out of your nose, Kim.
Hey, it smells good.
She just has a broom and she's swatting at them. The lemon bugs are here. Lemon bugs. They're aliens! That was from Witch Mountain. Thank you.
So Dorit's like, well, I wasn't sitting there, so I'm not saying Brandy was credible, because I wasn't in this totally random meeting where Brandy, that one with the lemon up her nose, showed up to discuss all of this nonsense.
So Kyle's like, I've never had a good relationship with Brandy ever. But Brandy, I have never known to be a liar. Unless she's talking about Mauricio, everything is a lie there. That's a lie. That's a lie. Everything she said about Mauricio cheating is a lie.
Yes. Let's just disregard the blog I wrote that is headed, Brandy is a fucking liar, by Kyle Richards.
I know.
So Kyle's like, you know, guys, Brandy is a very complex person. No, she's not. Okay. Now you're a liar. She's like, guys, Brandy is a very complex person, but everyone makes mistakes.
Guys, since I've been working so intimately with someone you may have heard, Michael Myers, a lot of people think he's a villain, he's dangerous, but I've gotten to know him a little bit over the past few months while I've been shooting a feature film called Halloween Bang and Bangathon, and I just want you to know I just have more of a open heart to people who have been previously written off as just villains. They're not all villains, guys. They're not. And I wear these bangs as a testament to them. Bang salute.
Thank you. So Brandy shows up. And Teddy's like, hello, how are you? It's like, oh my god, surprise, you're having a baby. Surprise, you're having a baby. Oh my god, she's having a baby. Fucking babies, right?
And then Teddy's like, yeah, I mean, it's funny because, like, I almost didn't even come to this. And then Edwin was like, yeah, you really should go. And I was like, fine, I'll put on a frumpy dress and go. So Enderfeet's like,
so what you're saying is you didn't want to support me. Is that what you're saying right now?
You didn't want to support the Boogie the Bee but Capri Room, Corpre.
Wait, we have not talked about the Capri Room. Can we talk about the Capri Room for 1 second?
Sure. It looks like downtown Las Vegas took a shit right in the middle of a really bad Italian food restaurant.
Now, look, I hot take, I liked the original room more. Because the original room looked like a cozy, red tablecloth Italian place. It's cheesy, it's Vegas-y, it's Buca di Beppo, but it felt cozy. This one, I actually liked all the lemons, but in between the lemons were these, like, there were like these booths that were like super ugly. It looked like from like a generic like Jason's Deli in the middle of who knows where. And then like you have this like the blue, like it tried to sort of, it was like a blue mural to be like, look, there's the sea out there. And then there was like these giant photos. It just was so awful.
Yeah, it's really bad. It is like Vegas when they have the, you know, like at the Venetian or Caesars where they have the malls where the sky is painted on the ceiling and, you know, the actual canals running through the mall and stuff. That's, like, fun while you're there, but it's cheese. So Kyle's like, well, you know, I will say to you, Brandy, I will say... Oh, no, because... I'm sorry, I've skipped ahead. So did you catch Teddy almost saying, it's all happening to Brandy? Oh, I wish he would have. Brandy could have knocked her fucking block off. Because Teddy's like, oh, look, everything's happening. Everything's happening.
Wow.
So she almost quoted the lady that fucked Brandy's husband in the first place.
Sheena Marie.
So then Dorit's like, well, if you play your cards right, Miss Brandy Glenville, you can come back here more often. And Brandy's like, yeah, I used to bring my kids here to eat in the kitchen.
And Dorit goes, oh, sweet. That's so sweet. I love that table. Yes, I love that table. Okay, you're not talking about having, like, the chef's tasting at Le Bernardin. She's like, oh, yes, the kitchen table inside the inner kitchen of Buca di Beppo. I'm like, okay, come on now. Let's relax. It's Buca di Beppo and Encino. We're not at the French Laundry here.
I know, and you know that Brandy has showed up to, like, every kitchen in town with her kids to eat, too. Like, hi, bonk, bonk, gling, 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 on the screen door in the back. Gling, 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 gling.
I don't need to eat. I actually don't really even want to eat. But can you feed my children? I love that. Like, we got to eat in the chef's table at Buca di Beppo.
Okay, so Kyle's like, you know, yeah, Brandy, eating in kitchens with your children. You know, you don't get a lot of credit for this, Brandy, but you're a great mom, an amazing mom. I wish they had cut in where Brandy's son was peeing in Kyle's backyard on a tree and Kyle lost her fucking mind.
Kyle, that point that Kyle made was so hilarious to me. She's like, I just want the cameras to see what non-mom shaming is. You're a great mom, and you don't judge other mothers. Wow. Wow. And look at me doing that, too. I'm a mom supporter. Kyle Richards. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
So Brandy tells him that she got to come for dessert at Thanksgiving because that's all Eddie would let her come in for, but that is baby steps and stuff. And Dorit turns to her, and she goes, now, do you like to be controversial, Brandy Glanville? Do you? Do you like it? Is it fun for you?
It's like the trailer to some, like, mid-90s thriller.
Do you like being controversial, do ya? Like Lorraine Bracco or something.
And Brandy's like, well, I mean, look, I started not wanting to be that way. She goes, oh, so you would say honesty is important to ya?
It's like, just ask, Dorit. Ask what you want to ask. Okay, what do you?
They're all becoming Perry Mason, and not the new Perry Mason.
Yeah, he's much angrier than the regular Perry Mason. I watched the new Perry Mason on HBO, and he's like, God damn it! Stop ignoring me! Like, you can't do that in court, sir.
Sir, please channel the spirit of Raymond Burr. Thank you. So,
of course, the new Perry Mason is like fucking whining all the time and crying. Of course, the 2020 Perry Mason that takes place in whenever is a big fucking whiner and all about his feelings. Of course he is.
I feel like the Perry Mason theme song is like just Dorit going through emotional reactions to things.
Coil PK.
You'll never listen to the Perry Mason theme song the same way.
Stupid. Okay, so she's trying to get this. She's trying to get whatever out of Brandy. So she's like, "Is honesty important to you?" And Brandy's like,
1,000%! Always? Is it always? Well, okay, 99%.
Okay, well, 99% would be good normally, but you've just taken us up to 1,000, or, you know, 1,000%. So 90%, like, what are you trying to trick us?
She's marking herself down. So she is, which, by the way, also, if you're a dishonest person, then there's no reason to believe that you saying you're honest 1,000% at the time is the right thing to say. What is that one trick that there's that riddle where it's like one person's a liar and one person tells the truth, so what question do you ask them? And it's something like can you lie about it doesn't even matter. I'm not going to go down this path. The point is this: Brandy has already marked herself from 1,000 down to 99.9, and Kyle says, oh, and by the way, her saying that is in itself honest. Her admitting that there's a 0.1% chance she's dishonest is honest. So I guess you're back up to 100.
Look, congratulations. So now, Brandy, shit really hit the fan in Rome. All right, you remember, because you were talking to us about your friendship with Denise, and you know, so we had to do that. We had to bring that up in Rome. Okay.
And Brandy's like, yeah, I mean, like, what happened? I mean, like, look, this one right here, Rita won't even make eye contact with me. I'm just still accepting. Thank you for the Kennedy Centers for welcoming me tonight for my great work in Chicago. Thank you.
Rena's like, you know, the awkward thing is Denise isn't here. And I have to be honest, you know, I had a breakdown in Rome, guys. A breakdown in Rome. Because, you know, Denise got me in the lobby and she said I didn't have her back and I was a bad friend. And it really just, I had a breakdown, guys. A breakdown in Rome, guys.
Did you ever know that Illy tastes totally different in Italy? Totally different.
And Brandy's like, I mean, is this the best place to talk? Because I don't know, like, 94% of the homely women at this table, so.
And they keep cutting to this one woman who is, like, at the end of the table, and she has this, like, coffee mug, and she's just drinking like this. She's like, just taking in all the information. Like, I'm the one who talks to Rita online.
I know. The whole time it's been Lita.
Yeah, so
they're. Or Lital or whatever.
The homely ladies are like, we can go if you want. We can go. We actually didn't even want to be here in the first place. We can go. Okay, we're going to go.
Yeah, this is so shitty. This is so rude. Teddy, you're a terrible host, too, on top of everything else. So they leave. And so Teddy.
And then Erica, they leave. And Erica, did you hear Erica goes, y'all have fun. Be safe. I'm like, thanks. Thanks, Ma Jane. Like, are we out by the Pioneer Lady? Like, what's happening?
Y'all have fun now. Y'all have fun here.
I'm like, where's that coming from?
So Teddy's like, well, when we went to Rome, the first real night we had at dinner, I confronted Denise about saying bad things to Brandy about me. And immediately she just stared at me. Like, she started saying, like, Brandy's trouble. And so I distanced myself from her and we're not close. And Dorit's like, Denise
has said none of it's true, right?
And Brandy's like, oh, like she wilts her head down, like she's such a victim. She can't believe that she's being called a liar.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And Erica goes, I asked her point blank, is Brandy lying? And she said, yes. So there we go. Case closed. So Brandy's like,
I'm not trying to hurt this person here. I'm not trying to hurt this person. I'm just bringing up this very specific issue that we have and trying to make it sound like it's relevant to anything at all. And it really isn't.
You know, okay, so in April I invited her to do my podcast.
And Teddy's like, was Aaron there? Was Aaron there? She goes, no, Aaron wasn't there. She goes, well, she said Aaron was there. So, guys, she said... All right, let me just clear this up for you guys. None of this is any of your fucking business. Denise told Brandy stuff, talking shit about you guys. Didn't think Brandy was going to repeat it. Brandy repeated it. So Denise lied her ass off to get out of the situation. I don't blame her. Is that difficult to understand? Like,
that's the thing, is that they don't even know really what they're arguing about. I think that at first it was like there was this salacious thing with Brandy and Denise. But what the women said, they keep saying, I don't even care about that. What I care about is that originally it was that Denise talked shit about them, right? And then, but now it's, the argument is whether or not Denise is lying. Because when they approached Denise about it, Denise was like, deny, which I imagine is probably like a reflexive defense mechanism built off of years of living with Charlie Sheen. That like shit comes at you, it gets crazy. If you say the wrong thing, it will be used against you and it could have massive repercussions for your kids. So you just deny everything until you sort of like can think about it and then you proceed forward. And I kind of got the feeling, maybe it doesn't necessarily excuse it, but I kind of got the feeling that that's what Denise was doing.
I just think that when you're caught talking shit about someone, if you came to me and said, or, you know, if someone comes to me and says, Ronnie, I heard you said all this stuff about me, what am I going to say? Yes, I said it. No, I'm going to say, no, I didn't. That's like the natural reflex.
You're caught off guard. You're like, no. And they're like, oh, well, actually, I mean,
well, I did say this, you know.
Yeah, that's like standard.
I think it's totally natural. But anyway, she has been caught lying, but I don't care. I'm still on her side, is my point.
Yeah.
So Brandy's like, well, okay. And then Brandy starts, this is where the story, this is so Beverly Hills, because they trip over themselves and don't understand that they're making the other person's point, right? So Brandy goes, well, I mean, I just knew for 100% that I knew it was a fact that they had an open thing if it was just girls. So we were making out. Okay, well, that correlates with what Denise says later, which is Aaron wouldn't care that she had sex with, or what she said earlier, that Aaron wouldn't care that she had sex with Brandy. He would have said, why am I not invited? So Brandy's like, all she's doing is giving evidence to the fact that Denise wouldn't care and still doesn't care, and nobody cares, and the only person that's trying to make it sound like Denise cared is Brandy.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like, well, we were making out, and then I bit her, and, you know, I bit her. And Dorit goes, what do you mean you bit her? What does that mean? It's like, Dorit. It's right there. It's literally, she bit her.
Because she's trying to leave marks so that she can say, look, I've messed around with Denise, everybody, there's proof right on her fucking neck or whatever. It's so Brandy to do that.
Oh, I didn't think it was on the neck. Wherever it was, I thought it was much more salacious than that.
Oh. So, well, I just took it that way. You know, like when you make out with like a really controlling person and they try and leave you a hickey on purpose. Oh, yeah. It's like, it seemed like that. Like, of course Brandy Marking fucking does that. Also, Brandy biting someone is assault, by the way, if we're going to be oversensitive about every little thing. So it stopped because she bit her, basically, I guess. It, like,
and Erica's pinching her nose. Like, she's pinching like the top part of her nose. Yeah. She's like, oh, God.
Erica's acting. Her sinus acting.
Oh, I have a real 5 o'clock headache. Not here under the lemon groves of the Capri room. Not here.
And so Brandy continues. And so the next day she said, Aaron can never know about this. He'll kill me. And this is from my corset. And Dorit's like, what?
This isn't the Corsica room. It's the Capri room. Stay on brand here, Brandy.
So he was okay if Denise and you did it, but then why would Aaron mind? Because of the bite marks. Is that what you're saying? Was it the bite marks? And Teddy's like, that's her point. That Aaron, she says that Aaron wouldn't mind, but then she worried about the bite marks because he would mind. Come on, Dorit.
She's like, that's the moment that she realized that Denise was lying to her. So I'm like, okay. Okay, sure. If all this is true,
Still don't care.
So then Brandy's like, so then I thought I have to keep the secret and I'm a cheater. I'm like, okay, this is your shit now. Like, this is like, you might not have liked the position that you're in. So you know what you do? You say, fuck this bitch. I'm not friends with her anymore because she put me in a position that I would not have liked to have been in. But, and then it could just, and then you just move on from there. That's all. Like, it's, that's, you just stop being friends with her.
Yeah.
You know?
But no, she'd rather go around and announce, no, I did cheat, but I was tricked into it. Now I'm the victim because you tricked me into being a cheat. This is Brandy's huge storyline we've been waiting for this whole year. It's fucking pathetic, right? So yeah. Then Tariq's like, well, I'm confused. And Teddy goes, it's all confusing, Tariq. It's all confusing. Shut up. You have nothing to do with anything ever. No one likes you. Be quiet.
So Brandy's like, I hate cheaters. I was cheated on and I would never do it. And she knew it when she said Aaron will kill me. It's just like, listen, if someone said, hey, Brandy, why aren't you and Denise friends anymore? I think Brandy could be like, oh, well, we made out. And then she acted all cagey about it. I was like, fuck this bitch. I think that's fair. Totally fair. I'm down with that. But I just don't see the point of her coming all the way onto this TV show to announce that they essentially had a bad hookup. I'm not going to say that because that's like really bad to say that because, you know, people dismiss a lot of things.
Well, it's how she's describing it. She's describing it as a bad hookup. She even said, like, well, we were into it, then I wasn't really into it or whatever. It sounds like it kind of fizzled out in the middle or whatever.
And then, yeah, so Brandy goes, this is about shutting me up to make sure no one knows that this happened. I'm like, I think this is your fault if you then still tried to maintain a friendship with this person who you saw was being shady to you about this whole thing, and now you're upset that you're not getting whatever it is that you psychologically need out of this friendship or whatever sort of closure you're needing, you're not getting, and now you're blaming her for it, and it's really more about what's going on with you. So you just have to move on, Brandon.
I don't want people talking about my hookups. Like, if I hook up with somebody, I don't want them going and detailing it to everybody. Gross, you know?
That's true, too.
I think that's fairly normal. So yeah. She's like, oh, so then Teddy tries to explain to everybody why Denise is the bad guy in this. Like, Teddy has really worked this out in her head. I couldn't even make it make sense. She was talking really fast, but she goes, okay, look, they had sex stuff, okay? So they were very close, and they shared things. And Denise is saying they're not even close, so that's not true, until Brandy started coming back. So then she started feeding Brandy all this info, so Brandy would feel that they were really close, so that Denise wouldn't be outed. It's like, no.
Is this your whole enormous, circuitous way of, like, proving that Denise is not credible, so therefore she did say that you live in your father's shadow? Is that what this whole thing is about? Is just that way, like... Because that's what it is. At the end of the day, this is about Teddy saying, like, no, you did say I live in my father's shadow. I'm like, you're basically, like, dragging this woman through the mud, essentially, just to get some sort of validation that she said some passing shade about you, which is not totally undeserved. It's so, like, what is wrong with you people?
So then Erica's like, well, when did she say all this stuff? And Brandy's like, well, it wasn't all this stuff. It was just two things. Okay, after Shoe Dazzle.
It's just two things.
After Shoe Dazzle, she said, you're a cold-hearted bitch. And Erica's like, oh, I love it. I love that. It's my best role ever. Really? Because you're really fucking offended that somebody calls you an icy bitch when all you've done is brag on the show about being an icy bitch. And now it's suddenly the most offensive thing you've ever heard about yourself. And after Shoe, by the way, at Shoe Dazzle, you were a fucking icy bitch.
And it was literally like an icy themed party. It was like theme was like...
It was ice.
Ice. And like...
Shoes and ice. Heels and ice, baby.
And literally, it was at that party that Denise tried to tell you, like tried to clear the air, and you kind of like shut her down. When Denise was like, first I want to talk about us. And she's like, but Aaron, she goes... And Denise was like, let's put that to the side because I want to talk about us. And she's like, well, you can't put everything to the side. I'm like, I think someone's allowed to come back from a party and be like, you know what? She's an icy bitch. I think you're allowed to be in your feelings for a few hours.
She talked to her. They had an after party breakdown and she said you were a cold bitch to her, which you were. So then Erica tells the camera, because Erica's also really good at getting nothing and being so offended by it that she just can't believe it. Erica's like, well, Denise went to Rome knowing she said all that shit about me, and that's the truth. It's like,
congratulations.
Oh, you solved the season.
I once got on a plane and had to shit half the time. things happen. Sometimes you take things to other places.
So sorry, stupid. Ronnie. So yeah, Brandy's like, well, I can back it up. I can back it up. I have texts. You can see them. And Dorit's like, well, I'm sorry, but I believe Denise, which is good for her.
Good for Dorit. Now that Dorit feels comfortable in her place on the cast, she's much more badass, right? Yeah. So Brandy pulls up a text from November 20th from Denise that says, hey, pretty mama, you going to come on our trip? Which, admittedly, like, Denise was acting like she basically has no... Well, Denise's story changed. She was like, I have no contact. And she's like, well, I've had some contact. I don't think this is really damning. You know, it certainly undermines what Denise was saying initially, that she's had zero contact. But it also, like...
Yeah, I think it shows clearly that Denise is lying, that she barely knows Brandy. I mean, yeah. Clearly from these texts are friends who talk and chat and have lunch and are girlfriends.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And But I also think that, like... There are shades of gray that you're allowed to have with friendships. I think there are people, like, if I found out, like, I have, like, if there's someone that I don't really see very often, but I hear they might be coming on a trip, I'll be like, I might text them and say, hey, what's going on? Or I might even say, hey, pretty lady, whatever, if it was a lady, you know, and say, are you coming on the trip? It's not a crazy thing to do to someone that you're not even that close with. I mean, but then the other texts show that they are closer than what Denise has let on. But then it's also, again, it's like,
I think these texts are clear that Denise is lying and that they're obviously friends. She's friendly with Brandy. She's clearly lying, and I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah,
I think
the
problem here is she made the mistake of becoming friends with Brandy. He squirreled her way in there to try and get back on the show, because that's the only reason Brandy suddenly gave a shit about Denise Richards, and we all know it. She tried to squirrel her way into Denise's life to get back on the show, and she got Denise in situations to talk shit about all these ladies, and then now she's using it against Denise to get back on the show. It's very obvious, you know, what's going on. I think Denise obviously lied, and she got caught, and her big mistake here is ever talking to Brandy, you know?
I think my take is slightly different. I'm not sure that she, like... did all this to get on the show, but I think that Brandy is someone who, when she feels rebuffed in a certain sort of way, she goes bonkers. And I think that probably what happened somewhere between what happened there, she thought she was not getting what she felt she deserved out of this friendship, whether it was a romantic thing, whether it was a friendship thing. If she felt like in some ways she was not getting something from Denise, and when Brandy feels rejected, she goes nuclear. And so when she probably felt rejected and said, you know what, well, fuck this girl, I'm going to air all her dirty laundry, and I'm going to go right up to Kyle Richards, Kyle and Kim, and tell them everything. Fuck this girl because she didn't text me back. It's like that borderline thing. I don't think it's as maniacal as, like, she like targeted Denise and did all this.
Of course she did. I think of course she did. I mean, look, when she met up with Denise last year, you don't think she had her fellow agents set them up? They weren't friends before that.
I mean,
they said they were set up by their fellow agent. So I think it would be too crazy to be a coincidence that just Denise is on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and suddenly a meeting is set up between her and Brandy by their agent. Like,
I mean, I think that there could be like some broad strokes of like, ooh, now that Denise is on, maybe I can now be back on the show like that. But I have a hard time believing that Brandy hatched,
really, Brandy
like,
has done nothing vicious... but try and claw her way back onto this show.
No,
ever
no, but
since.
I'm saying, like, I have a hard time believing that there was like a beat by beat plan that she had, where she's like, first I'm going to seduce her, then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this. I can just sort of see her being like, oh, sweet, like Denise is on the show, which means that I could probably get back on the show if I hang out with her. Like, I sort of see like a general.
I don't think people like Brandy think of anything else than how to get back on TV.
or how to get back.
I think she's like a Tamara or a Vicky who they're gone and that's all that consumes them, you know, for the rest of their lives. It's all they can talk about. They're constantly going on and trying to get attention to get back on.
But like Tamara and Vicky, like they just did an Instagram thing 2 days ago where they're like, so we heard that the season finale party was the other day and they're all down to 12 episodes. Guess who wasn't invited? We weren't batch. I'm like,
yeah,
because
their life sucks. They have nothing interesting because they're all fake bitches, bitch.
Okay.
Like,
keep
you guys
clawing,
are the ones
girls.
Drinking, like, margaritas by the yard at, like, Squidward's Fantasy Cavern in Vegas.
Yeah. So, okay. So, anyway, back to this. Teddy has just explained everything, and Erica's like, okay, well, when did Denise say all that stuff? And Brandy tells her the stuff, and so Brandy pulls out her phone, and Dorit says she believes Denise. Sorry, just catching up on my notes here.
Yeah.
And Dorit tells us, well, I'm sorry, but I don't know, Brandy, and my only experiences with her have not been very pleasant. And then we see a clip of Brandy coming up to her at Kyle's party and going, oh my God, I don't even know you. I just know that you've had like 14 hamburgers and your tits are fucked up. What? I meant it in a good way.
Cut to Dorit putting Brandy's photo up on the fridge in the Buco di Beppo kitchen. Do not have this woman at the chef's table. Dorit looks at this text and is like, so, like, big deal. She asked you if you were coming on the trip, and Brandy's like, well, if she doesn't have a relationship with me, why would she ask? And Dorit's like, because you were at Kyle's children's hospital event. She just saw you there. That's why. She's like, I'm not a fucking liar. I'm not a fucking liar.
Oh, my gosh. So let's go through some of these texts, okay? I've got the ones that they showed. So this one is Wednesday, November 20th. Okay, so supposedly they hooked up in what? April?
April-ish.
So this one's November. So is it the November after? It would have had to be, right?
It's the November of, like, recently around this trip.
So this is Brandy saying, you're the one in blue, right? If you're the bubble in blue. If you're the one writing the text.
You're the bubble in blue. By the way, there were two November texts that we saw, and one was from 2018 and one was from like 2019.
And then we have one from February 24th. It doesn't say what year, of Denise saying, hi honey, I hope I'm not waking you. We had to move out of our house. It was flooded with rain, and then they had to gut it. Been at a hotel. But I'm off work all next week if you're around, pretty mama. Okay. So then we've got August 27th. Brandy saying, hey babe, I know you're back filming. Let me know a night you're free for drinks. And her saying, hi honey, I'd love to cut so much to catch up. I got another show, but I guess we'll find time. And she goes, yes, please, we need to catch up, busy lady.
By the way, so far, perfectly fine, generic friendship texts. They don't really indicate any level of friendship beyond, you know, those are
normal.
Fine.
Yeah. Normal. So a newish friendship. So then Denise Richards, hey, pretty. Oh, no, Brandy.
Hey, pretty, do you want to have a girl's day on Wednesday so we can just do lunch or dinner, just hang out? I don't have kids or anything this week.
And she said, yes, would love. Then we have another one from November 6th.
I love your renditions of these. Yes, would love. Go on.
Wednesday, November 6th.
Babe, I'm so sorry, sad face. It was really 1 second and nothing. I just wanted to be 100% honest.
Whatever that's about, we don't know.
Yeah.
And Denise saying, just know that if we went a year or 5 years without speaking, I can always pick up where we left off, and my loyalty doesn't change. I'm... often don't know what goes on behind our door, and I'm burnt with everything. I can't even... This is blocked out. And it says, I still care, and I love you. And then she says, I love you too, and same for me. I just don't have as much going on, so I have more time to dwell on shit. So that's obviously Brandy getting upset that they weren't seeing each other. So it sounds like Denise was kind of blowing off Brandy. Right.
I think you can read into it whatever you want to read into it. You could read into it like they were really close. You could also read into it like, oh, yeah, just like friendly patter. Like, oh, you know, like what I'm just arguing is that I can imagine receiving a text from someone who's like somewhat like an acquaintance or above an acquaintance being like, I'm sorry that like we haven't caught up over the past year. God, it's always so fun to hang out. We should hang out. And I can imagine myself saying something like, totally, like don't worry about it. Like, we're busy and I can always pick up where we left off. Like, I can imagine that it doesn't really inform the closeness of our relationships. It's just like a nice thing to say to someone. And I'm not saying that's where Denise's intention came from, but I'm saying that, like, if you are condemning her, or if you're basically saying she's guilty because of these texts, because they show a closeness, the text can also show not a closeness too. It's all about how you perceive it.
Well, and this text to me is Denise say, or Brandy saying, "Babe, I'm sorry. It was really 1 second and nothing. I just wanted to be 100% honest," which means she was upset about something that she talked to Denise. And Denise saying, "Well, sorry, but no matter how much we talk, I'm still a loyal friend," or whatever. But anyway, right. Despite any of that, first of all, this proves nothing of Denise saying anything bad about anybody else, so that's not proof of that. And it's also not proof of Brandy being so traumatized after she went to do Denise's podcast that she felt so victimized for, that she, last time she described it, made herself sound like a victim of assault, that she was so wasted, and that Denise was, you know, she wasn't even into it, but Denise was kind of forcing it by offering a rollout bed that wasn't even ever going to be there and tricking her in, Brandy's vile. She's being fucking vile and disgusting, and these texts prove nothing. And I think if they did prove anything, they would have been on our fucking screen, because this show ain't trying to protect anybody.
Yeah, and Teddy is like, if I'm fighting with you, I'm not texting, "Hi, pretty mama." I'm like, you can still like distance yourself from someone and still text like nice things, so that way you don't alert them that you've like downgraded them a little bit, because you don't want them, especially if it's like a loose cannon like Brandy. Like, that's like, it's not crazy. I just feel like they are saying, like, they're reading guilt into everything that I feel like is not necessarily guilty.
It so Erica's like, "Well, I'm not looking at what the texts even say. I'm just seeing that there's pages and pages and pages and pages of them." And Dorit's like, "Well, that's
almost
not
like all the dialogue I had to learn for Chicago."
Dorit's like, "Well, that's not even a big deal what she said." And Brandy's like, "Oh, really? Well, if we're not friends, then why was she asking if I'm coming on a trip? I'm not a liar."
Yeah. And Dorit is the only one with any sanity who said, "Look, all that Denise said is that we don't have a close relationship. Like, that's all that it was, you know?" And so then Brandy goes, "You know what? I fucking sucked on her fucking pussy. I have a close fucking relationship with her. Okay, bitch? Okay, bitch?" And Kyle's like, "Can you believe what she said? Only Brandy can say something like that. Only Brandy can.
I hate when she talks like that." And then Rena's like, "Can I see it? Let me just see it." So then Rena's like, "Wow, December 10th, 2018. And they're being so dramatic about every little thing. And Rena's like, "Oh, I still care and love you. And Brandy says, love you too. I mean, I don't have that relationship with Denise. I don't say, I love you, baby. I love you. I mean, this is a relationship. This is a relationship. It's an intimate friendship, at the very least, basically."
Yeah. I'm like, that's just the style of their texting. I don't know. So now Brandy says, now she says, drops the real bomb. She goes, "You know what? I think that Denise is the master manipulator more than Lisa Vanderpump." And Kyle, her jaw drops and she puts her head in her hands like,
they all
gasp. "Oh my God, yeah. I went after the wrong one."
But what has Denise manipulated? Again, this is like Lisa Vanderpump. What has she manipulated? Nothing. Yes. She's manipulated. What did Denise win out of this? You guys are trying to ruin her whole fucking life and villainize her. What would be her intention in fucking Brandy? Plan. Brandy's the only one to get something out of that, not Denise.
Her game plan is one of two things, if not both. One is to be exonerated from saying that Teddy lives in her daddy's shadow. And the other thing is to maybe present some sort of image of herself like she's a goody two-shoes, which we don't believe she's trying to do at all. And by the way, everyone on this cast is trying to present an image of themselves to promote various businesses and Buca di Beppo franchises. So, like, what is the end game? What is the end game of this manipulation that Denise
stupid.
Is doing?
It's so stupid. And the only things I see in common are you and Kyle, Brandy. Those are the only thing in common with those storylines that you just brought up. And Rinna. Let's not discount Rinna, because they're just replaying the same storylines over and over again. But Vanderpump's not here anymore, you guys. Yeah. Okay? It's just these three dopes.
And Rinna's like, "Well, you know what? I think, Brandy, that you and Denise have to talk. You have to talk, because we are all involved now, okay? Whether you want to be or not, we are all involved. We are all driving a car, and we all hit that fisherman on the road, okay? We all are involved, okay?"
Stupid. Like,
you're all involved because y'all gossiped about it and made it into a whole big thing.
So Erica is leaving early in the morning to go to New York, and we see her, you know, saying bye to Tom, and she's with Leia, and Tom's like, "You gotta take care of my buddy, Leia."
I was like, oh, Tom, you're coming to see me in 2 weeks. I mean, for a man in his 90s and such clear, crisp shape as you, I mean, all right, it's about 20 years, basically. You could be dead by then. All right, well, maybe I'll see you, maybe I won't, Tom.
You know, you only get this opportunity once in your life, unless, of course, you're a professional singer and dancer, in which case you theoretically would get it all the time because it's your career. But anyway, I went to New York once, and I was go-go dancing away in New Jersey, and I would watch those private planes fly, and they would land on the field across the street, the landing strip. We actually go-go danced on the landing strip. He said, come on in, boys, there's no fog, come on in. And I said, one day, I'm going to land on that go-go bar airport. And guess what? Here I am, taking a private plane to New York to be in Chicago. Think about that for a second. New York and Chicago, the same place. Wow.
So then we go to Kyle's in her stupid pink foyer, and Rena comes in.
Hello!
And Kyle's like, how are you? I permed my bangs for you. And Rena's like, I don't know how I am, Kyle. I don't know.
I just... Kyle, have I been manipulated? What have I been manipulated? Denise has manipulated me.
Like, what are you talking about? You're manipulated again? It's every fucking year with you, someone's manipulated you.
Lisa Rinna just walking into traps. She's just the one walking in the jungle who steps on that thing where the rope gets her by the leg and she's up in the trees, you know? And so, by the way, did you notice? I'm surprised I did not notice this all this time. Maybe because I'm just always turning away and like, Kyle's house. But she has a sign up in her kitchen that says, grateful, thankful, blessed. I mean, Kyle copies everyone, even like shitty decor from Orange County.
Yeah. So yeah, Rinna is so upset with Denise because now after everything they've heard, Rinna realizes that she's been manipulated. What is doing what? I don't know. But I looked up Lisa Rinna manipulation online and it was hilarious just seeing the times that Lisa Rinna has claimed to be manipulated on this show. Okay, so she was manipulated into accusing Yolanda of having Munchausen.
Yes.
She was manipulated by Lisa Vanderpump and Kyle. But then she was almost manipulated by Lisa Vanderpump into blaming Kyle for manipulating her, even though they were both manipulated.
She's very manipulated. And then Kyle goes, you know, when I had my baby shower, there were balloons and presents and cake, and no one was talking about sucking on anyone's anything. I'm like, well, maybe next time you don't invite Brandy Glanville to the baby shower of someone who barely knows her.
And why would your husband talk about that at a party? I'm sure he was talking about it outside of it. If the rumors are true, now that we're allowed to talk about anything, Kyle.
So Rinna's saying that basically Brandy was real convincing. Real convincing. Thank you, Dick Cheney. Thank you for coming to my Kennedy Center honors. Thank you. So she's like, you know, I thought my friend would tell me the truth, and there's sadness in that. There's sadness. I mean, what else has Denise lied to me about over the years? What else? Is that not her in Wild Things? Is that just a CGI presence? I don't know.
She says, it feels like Denise has weaponized our friendship and used everything she can to make me feel guilty. And then we see the clip of her being like, how could you do this? You know what I've been through with those kids. You know, why would you come for my children? That's not manipulative. She's saying, why are you fucking coming for her children? Which you are.
I'm weaponized. I'm at the front of a Scud missile heading towards a castle just ready to blow it up. I'm weaponized, baby. And then, by the way, did you see Kyle go, you know what? If Denise did sleep with Brandy, it is none of our business. None. But Brandy told us this information, so regardless, Denise is going to have to deal with this information now. And I feel bad. I'm like, don't say you feel bad. You're the one who brought it onto TV and served it up on, like, a shitty fake silver platter. And now you're saying, oh, now she's dealing with it. I feel bad. It's not even our business. But I put it on TV to make it our business.
Yeah. Well, they're idiots, and I'm so glad that the audience is really seeing this, because it's like, here they go again. They're exact same storylines. At the end of every year, they've been so manipulated by one evil person, and just watching it blow up in their faces is hilarious. And I'm proud of Denise, actually, for just being like, fuck this, okay? Right. You guys want me to come in and do my final interviews? Fine. She's like drunk. She seems like drunk as hell. I just got in her final. And it's like, yeah, you would, if I fucked Brandy, I would have told Aaron and he would have been mad he wasn't invited. I love that she's just taking the air out of everything. And they've built this whole Denise walks out as this big thing. What, it wasn't that at all. She told them all, like, fuck you, right to their face. She told them they were all assholes, refused to go to Teddy's party, who she hates anyway, and then refuses to be confronted by someone who's not even on the cast when they try and trick her in the finale. Good for her.
Yeah. And I do, I mean, like, I, even though I think Rena's being so totally ridiculous, at least she's being, like, hilariously over the top. To say our friendship has been weaponized is so, like, it's so soap star. So at least there's, like, some sort of campy melodrama that she brings.
At least she's funny, yeah.
Yeah, as opposed to Kyle, who's like, I feel bad. I'm like, please, just, like, buy another neon sculpture and stare at it. I don't care.
Yeah. Stupid. Well, that was fun. That was a nice hour and a half long recap. Dang.
Wow, we really let out a lot. Got a lot off our chest, didn't we? Well, I feel weaponized by this podcast. So,
totally.
You guys, thanks so much for listening and watching. For those of you guys who watched on Crappens On Demand, again, go to patreon.com/watchforcrappens to watch this, but sign up on the Crappens On Demand level, or you can just do bonus or Discord or whatever you want. Whatever, you know, do your food.
Do you. Do your food.
We'll be back tomorrow with Real Housewives of New York, which will probably be another disaster in a great way. And until then, everyone stay safe and sound, and we'll see you on the next show.
Bye,
bye, everyone.